All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to LA Twin Live, the January phone call, the first call of 2017. Just wanted to thank all of you for joining us. Sounds like a great group, and I'm really excited for all of our newcomers that have joined and, of course, our regulars to have them back. Just wanted to also welcome in our other hosts, Andy Mark from Florida. Andy, hey.
Hey, everybody.
And we have Maria Johnson from San Diego, California.
Hey, you guys.
And we have our first time LA Twin Live guest and first time guest speaker, Dave, with us. So
hi,
he'll
everybody.
Be sharing our story with us, and so we're really excited to have him. But just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year. 2017 is totally going to be a great year. I can feel it already. Feeling pretty optimistic. So just want to kick off the year right and start the year off with LA Twin Live call, and it really doesn't get better than having all of our LA Twin brothers and sisters with us. So hang tight. I'm going to mute everyone, and if you do want to ask any questions, please let Dave share his story first, but if you do want to unmute yourself, it is *7. So hang tight a second.
The conference has been unmuted.
What did it just say?
Unmuted. You want muted.
Yeah. So weird.
Jessica, try ##. Then.
The conference has been unmuted.
Why is it doing that? 99?
Try
pound.
Try pound.
Yeah.
##?
Yeah. That would be ##. For you youngins.
If everybody could call back tomorrow, I think we can get this straight.
Jessica?
I think she muted herself.
Yeah, she muted herself.
Jessica, if you can hear me, if you press *2, it'll give you all your commands. I can't actually do that because I'm not the leader this time, but if you press that, it will read, or **, I apologize. That's **, it'll tell you all your commands.
Where's Dad?
Do you have headphones that fit these? I'll just get them for next month. No, I have it on mute.
Are you guys still there?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love
that.
I hit #*, and it sends me to that list of commands.
Oh.
No, you press **. You press **, not ##.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Don't press the wrong.
The conference has been muted.
Hooray, I did it. You're totally right. So I'm definitely hitting ** instead of #. Blind girl problems. Anyways. Well, thank you guys again, especially for your patience. I love when I have technical difficulties. Dave, if you will unmute yourself with *7, I want to welcome you into the call.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Perfect.
Okay, cool.
I love it when Dave just is his first time calling, and I've been calling for 2.5 years, and I still can't do it. That's awesome. So great. But, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Actually,
thank you very
how
much
did you
for
hear of LA Twin Live?
How did I hear?
Yeah.
From Facebook, from all the posts. I'm part of LA Twin, part of several different groups, I think, and I'm always seeing posts. Maria Hayes Johnson has contacted me before about being a guest, and I'm actually Facebook friends with some people, and I've actually never even met them, like yourself. And I've only met one person in my life with LHON. So it's really exciting to be here and really exciting to, like, meet people and put voices to names. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Well, I'm excited that you're here, especially It's a whole new world to meet, finally, like, to be able to connect and meet people with LHON. You feel like you have this, like, weight off your shoulders, and you feel like you have, like, a whole new family you never knew about.
Yes, it's cool. A lot of blind people, but I've never met with anybody with LHON, so this is really cool.
Awesome. So do you mind sharing your story with us? How long have you been affected? How old were you?
Of course not. It's been just over 10 years now.
Okay.
I got diagnosed in 2006, where I started losing my central vision. And then at first I was misdiagnosed. I was told I had multiple sclerosis, and then they told me they were wrong, and I have this very rare disease called LHON. And at the time, there wasn't much information. I was not connected to the internet at all. So later on, I found out all these great Facebook groups and stuff like that. But it's been about 10 years now.
Oh, wow. Wait, how did they go from, like, multiple sclerosis? Was the LHON discovery pretty quick, or did you have a lot of, it's unquick.
Oh no, it was a while. First, I was losing my central, and I thought I needed new glasses. So I went to like Lens Crafters, and I couldn't read the eye chart, and so I was getting like worse and worse, and I didn't know what was happening. I went to many doctors. I didn't have any health insurance at the time, so I went to county hospital where they just admitted me so they could do like a lot of tests, or they did like MRIs, different things. And over about 2 months, they said I lost like 90% of my vision.
And
then just one guy, I think he was just like looking in a medical dictionary or something. He goes, "Oh, I think you have this one." I don't think anybody
awesome.
In the hospital has ever heard of it. So, and then later,
and now
later on,
do you have any? Does anyone in your family affected?
No, they did not. I'm the lucky one. And then years later, I saw Dr. Sadoun at UCLA, and he confirmed it. So.
Okay. Wow. So where were you when you lost vision, and what was your – tell us about your training and that experience.
Sure. Like the whole like transition?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. At the time, I was 29 years old. I'm 39 now, and – at the time, I was in and out of school, and to be honest, I wasn't really doing much. I was in and out of school. I was really into acting and theater, and did a lot of local stuff. Nothing really major. I did like a lot of local improv shows and some theater. And I worked part time for a college as a teacher's assistant for a theater program, and I also was a waiter. So. And then I had to quit my waiting job because I couldn't feel like it became a safety issue, and I had to quit my other job. So at the time, it was like completely changed my life, and I really didn't know what to do. So, like, at first, of course, I was very depressed, didn't really know what to do with my life. So it's like it was a hard transition for me. I remember getting my cane, and it was like, holy, I don't know if we can say bad words in here, but it was like, holy crap, this is real. I'm really blind. And that was like a big thing when I got my white cane. But eventually I went to the Braille Institute where they gave me mobility training. I took a lot of a whole variety of classes. I took Braille. I don't really use Braille, but I can kind of read it. Computers, I learned JAWS. I learned white cane, sensory awareness. I learned a lot of things from the Braille Institute. And then eventually I kind of got used to it. It took some time getting used to. I mean, I don't know if you ever really get used to it, but, you know, that life moves on and you have to do something with it. So then I did an internship for the Braille Institute, and now I am currently employed. I am a youth coordinator for the Dale McIntosh Center, which is an independent living center which helps people with disabilities.
So cool.
Sorry, that was
so
kind of
cool.
All over the place, but yeah, sorry. Thank you.
You know, you're talking about the transition and just that it was just for the transition to be really hard and to have that whole, like, holy crap, am I really blind moment.
I think
everyone on this line is, like, nodding their heads saying, like, yeah, totally get it. You know, like,
that
moment happens a few times, you know, time and time again, and sometimes still happens, like when I press the star instead of the pound. Sort of thing, you know, and then
and not that it's cool that we're all blind, but it's cool like meeting people who lost it, because usually everyone that I met had been born blind or they were, you know, a bit older, when they lost it. So it's kind of cool meeting people who are, like, in their middle ages, kind of, or younger. So it's really neat.
Totally. Yeah, and I feel like that's, like, definitely an LA Twin trait that we all can especially relate to. Tell me about your position as a youth coordinator. That sounds awesome.
Oh, thank you. Let me tell you how I got the job first.
I
had done an internship at the Braille Institute. And at the Braille Institute, I actually think this is really unfortunate, but nobody on their staff is really disabled. There's a Braille teacher and a JAWS teacher. So somebody did there was like a guest speaker one day, and it was this lady who was visually disabled, and she was the program manager for this company. And I thought it was so inspiring to meet somebody who was, you know, a professional, visually disabled person that didn't teach Braille. This was actually the first person I met that wasn't like that. So I had written her a letter, and she wrote me back, like, this very inspiring letter. And I thought, I really want to work at that place. And then I applied after a while for accessible technology coordinator. I didn't get the position, but I guess the executive director remembered me and offered me a temporary job for a program they were doing. And then she saw that she came to at Braille. I got to teach improvisational theater, which I brought to them. I wrote a proposal for it, and I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. And she saw how well I worked with youth, and she said that the company needed a youth coordinator. They never had one, and she really liked how I worked with youth, and she just gave me the offer. I was like, it just came out of nowhere, so it was a total blessing. It was great. And what I do there is I do a lot of outreach to youth with all disabilities. They just have to have a disability and be between the ages of 14 and 22. We do independent living lessons, and it's all disabilities. There's a lot of kids with cerebral palsy, autism. I had to learn a lot for this job. Unfortunately, I have no visually disabled consumers, but I'm hoping to get some. But I had to learn a lot of different things. And also, I brought theater to it, so it's kind of cool watching youth with autism training to do improv and stuff. But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
Do you guys have, like, plays, or do you have shows and things like that? Because there's some California
We're working on it. We're working on building it, going to that level. We're going to add an improv class, which is going to be after – we have, like, once a month – we just added a night. We have twice a month meetings. It's called the My Best Program, where we teach them how to cook meals, and we teach them an independent living lesson, and then we have games. And then we've been kind of doing improv, and a lot of them are interested, so we're going to have a whole separate class. And then this week we're starting our peer fun night where we just have fun and play board games and just kind of do whatever and hang out. It's really important for them to socialize. So that's a huge thing for youth with disabilities. They're always just at home with their parents and they don't really get to go out much. So it's really important for them to socialize. I love it. I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, they probably look up to you so much, especially because you're just like one of them. Like, you have a disability, and they probably just think that you're the coolest thing since sliced bread, right?
I don't know about that, but I have a lot
probably.
Of
probably.
And I'm young at heart. I'm 39, but I know I sound younger, but I'm very immature for my age, so it works out well.
That means you can just have fun with the kids, so it's perfect.
Yeah, we just have fun. We just have a good time. They're just kids. So disability or no disability, they're all pretty much they're all kind of the same. So.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but it's an awesome job, and I really am blessed with this opportunity. So, now our executive director is visually disabled as well,
cool.
Like since birth, and so she's a huge like inspiration and mentor for me. So that's a big deal.
Oh, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. And next step plan for your future, were you talking about going back to school?
I am. I'm in school right now. I'm on my last class of my AA, so I'm really excited about that. I'm a mental health major. I, of course, had to make some changes. Before, I was a film and theater major. which I could have pursued still, but I wanted to be just a little more practical because I, besides theater, I love working with people and helping people. So from here, I will be going on to get a sociology degree. Hopefully, if it all works out.
And could you grow with the company that you're currently with the degree?
Yeah, I could probably go into a management position.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're very supportive there. More than half of them have half of the employees have a disability of one kind or another. So it's really cool watching all these people just working, and you can't even tell there's disabilities going on because we're very functional and we get like a lot done. We just won in Anaheim best nonprofit of the year for Anaheim. I'm not sure if it was Orange County or Anaheim, the city.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So.
That's great.
Really great.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, that's such an awesome company to work for. They're like empowering at the same time and just kind of making everyone push their limits.
Yes. Yeah, and it's all about getting people to be independent, helping people find work, mobility training. We just do all kinds of things. And for anybody out there wondering, Dell McIntosh was a woman's name. It has nothing to do with the computers. So I was confused about that at first.
What was her story? She
was a paraplegic in Orange County, and this was in the 70s, and there wasn't really much many independent living centers at the time or anything like that, and she helped start it, but right before it started, opened, she passed away, and they named it after her.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
This was, like, in the 70s. I was born in the 70s, but I never met her.
Oh, well, awesome that you're making a difference in her name, so that's great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful company. I really like it.
So being affected for 10 years, what fun things have you kind of learned along the way that any tips and tricks that you can share with maybe our first-time callers?
Sure. Actually, I'm hoping to learn from you guys, but there's a lot of stuff I just had to, because I wasn't really connected with the blind community before I went to Braille and poured different things. So some stuff I just made up on my own, but I don't think it was right at the time. But to me, I had to learn how to memorize things in the beginning, memorize where you put everything. And, of course, as we all know, if somebody moves something, then we'll chop their heads off. But I learned to memorize things. Of course, I learned accessible technology. I love my iPhone. Jaws, different thing, but I think really organization and memory is very huge. I'm sure there's wonderful toys out there for us, but we really got to like try to memorize things. And the more organized, the better. The more we can tell people, you know, I'm really organized, so please don't move anything. The more we can communicate about ourselves and our needs, then the better off we are. Since it's been like 10 years, I've also noticed the adjustments in my friends, which is kind of interesting because like some of them, they were very awkward at first. Some didn't stick around, but some got closer to me and I was shocked to, the other day I did an improv show for my friend's class and he talked more about levers than like he started going off about levers and I didn't know he knew all this stuff. So it was really cool. And like, learning sighted guide technique and different stuff. So, like my friends, I've learned a lot. So it's affected, you know, friends, family, myself, of course, in the most ways. But and I've just become more. It took me a while, but I've become very more grateful and more just more calm and just trying to be a good listener is very important as well.
Gosh, I wish I could be more calm, but I think I'm more hyper. But I do. It's still really cool to hear how your friends are looking into being sighted guides. That's really cool.
Oh yeah, to me that's inspiring. How my friends reacted. I think that's really cool. But
definitely.
I always run into people who don't know how to treat you, or I'm sure everyone on the line has experiences like that, where people start yelling at you. Because they think we're deaf and not blind. And I took a lift home after work, and they pretty much babied me into the car, and it's kind of weird, but I know a lot of people out there have stuff to learn, but they don't know unless we communicate it. But I never get mad, but I think it's very interesting some of the things people do. So somebody once asked me if I could speak Braille, and so I just said yeah. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing. And right next to where I work is it's a huge office building, and next to my company is a dental office. And a Lyft driver asked me one time, like, so you work there? I'm like, yeah, I didn't really think about it. I was like, yeah. And he goes, you work at a dentist office? And I just said jokingly, yeah, I'm a blind dentist. And he didn't question it, so I had him going. Like, I admit I was being a little jerky because I just got off work, and I thought that was a bit of a silly question, but I had him going the whole time. So.
It's funny. Yeah, people, it is funny to kind of, you know, when people aren't maybe familiar, maybe sometimes often not comfortable around blind people, they ask questions, mm-hmm. maybe because they just don't know, you know, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just, you have to kindly educate every so often various people
yeah.
and the public, and blind people can still hear sometimes, and, you know, it's just, or we can hear, not see, sort of thing. So that's
yeah.
Totally
I get a lot of questions from youth, which I understand, and sometimes they don't have a filter, and it can come out a little rude, but I think for adults, it's a little different. They don't know, they know if they're being rude or not, I think, sometimes. But
yeah, and sometimes they're just like, it's just maybe they've never met a blind person, so they're so curious.
Yeah, it makes sense, but like I don't have time to explain everything to you, so sometimes.
All right.
Yeah.
And, well, just to kind of, and now to jump into that awkward question, I have. So, what does your vision look like? What can you see?
Okay, so I have no central, and
like none at
else,
all. Like when you look straight, it's got nothing at all.
Yeah, like my hand will completely disappear.
Okay.
Everything is pretty much a fuzzy blur. The peripheral isn't that good, but I can see, like, kind of movement from the peripheral.
Okay.
I forgot the numbers. I think it was, like, 2200, something like that. It's been a while since I've been to the eye doctor. So, but it's pretty bad. It's not total, but it is, it's pretty bad. Like, it's still pretty light and dark, and I see people, like, faint shadows. Like it, I don't know if you remember this, but it's like looking through like wax paper, kind of.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh. I often describe it with wax paper, or sometimes I say it feels like I'm like, when you look underwater, you can like tell there's a person, but you can't tell who it is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I can't
Except
tell
for today,
more,
I was looking at my dad and I could awkwardly smell him.
Oh, really?
So that's weird.
Mm.
But, I mean, I guess pick up.
I got some of my friends who wear, like, striped shirts all the time. So, like, if they're really close, I can kind of tell what is a striped shirt.
Okay.
So, that helps sometimes. But, yeah, I can't really see much anymore. But it kind of plateaued, like, 10 years ago. It just got bad and then just stayed bad.
Okay, so, yeah. I feel like that's similar to a lot of us.
Yeah. I did add Debenone. I did that later on, though. I think if you do it earlier, it seems to have some effectiveness, but I didn't take it until it had been, like, 8 years. So I took it for, like, two
okay.
years, and I can tell any difference. But.
Okay. We just don't talk about, I should have given you a heads up, we just don't talk about, like, clinical trials or anything that kind of pops up throughout
yeah.
the community.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
But no, maybe I just want to expand on it. I do want to open it up to anyone on the line and ask Dave any questions. I think his youth coordinator position is amazing and so awesome and inspiring, and just kind of motivates me as well, because it's cool to hear how you're helping so many people, and especially with so many different disabilities. I mean, as your day-to-day, is it hard sometimes just because you have a hard time seeing, and do they have a hard time communicating sometimes, and do you have those barriers?
Yeah, that's a huge thing, and I had to get used to my consumers, like how they're like, but at first it was very hard because some of them like have autism, they have they'll have dual disabilities like autism and ADHD, so they'll get up and just start walking around and stuff, and I don't know. And a lot of them are like nonverbal, and I don't even know they're there. So somebody has to tell me they're there, and it was very tricky at first. But then I got, and sometimes they don't understand visual disability. So I actually had some sessions where I tried to teach them what visual disability is and what it's like for me, and that seemed to help a lot of them. Like I even tried to blindfold them, but they got very uncomfortable with that, and I was trying to explain that that's how it is for me. So even I have like even severely autistic kids now, they'll come up to me and tell me they have to go to the bathroom or something. So it's not like a little kid thing to do, but it's more out of respect. So they're telling me that when they leave the room or anything like that. So so I've gotten really close to my consumers. But it was very challenging at first.
I love that. You guys just kind of, and I think that even goes with any job, you just kind of develop a system that works and a communication style, and kind of so you guys can kind of both be successful.
And when I was instructing visually disabled teens theater, I just love that. Unfortunately, it got cut due to budget cuts, but we did it for about 2 years, and I just love that. And because we have the same condition, so it was very like we could speak to each other and like and know what each other are talking about. So it was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Now, do you have an aid that helps you that's sighted or?
No.
Oh,
I
that
have
is awesome.
A sometimes like other coworkers will come in. Like my supervisor will come in, make sure everything's all right. They'll come in, my supervisor will come in and help do we make lunches, so they help with that. I fully admit I can't cook very well. I've taken some cooking lessons, but I can microwave a Celeste pizza, and that's about it.
Hey, it's a start. You'll get there for sure.
Yeah. I know how to order well and walk. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like every food under the sun is now delivered, so you're covered.
Yeah, so.
And you should totally stay listening. Every so often we do have some guest speakers that are some amazing chefs, so kind of get some tips and tricks from everyone else here on the line.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and I would love to do this call again and be part of the community. Yeah.
This is LHLM Live community is just awesome. Everyone has like an expertise that they often share, and it really does make a difference. And I mean, puts a huge impact on all of us really, because we can all learn from each other. So it's great.
I do like see a lot of people's posts and like see what they're doing, and sometimes they'll do something about their vision, and then I go, oh, that's so cool. I never thought of that. But yeah,
totally,
I,
right.
I follow the community. I try to.
That's very cool.
Somebody was recently telling me about a certain product. Can I tell about products?
Oh, yeah, you still like it.
Okay, somebody was telling me about the Echo, the Amazon Echo. No, I want it so bad.
Yeah, you have to put it on your wish list. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I can't say her name because she's sitting right next to me. But the Echo, yeah, you definitely have to put that on your list. I actually just played Jeopardy with mine the other day.
Oh, that's what I want to do. I love Jeopardy. So.
That's so cool. But I'd love to open up the call. There are definitely some people with some tips and tricks that I'm sure would be great to share with you as well, so we could all kind of learn together. And anyone want to pop in and ask Dave anything? And it's *7 to unmute you. Anyone? I know they're out there.
Right, because there are no questions.
If you'd like, Jessica, if there aren't any questions here, you can unmute everyone. And I think we know what that is now. That's 9-9.
Right? Okay, I can. Hold on 1 second. Let me try to unmute everyone. Hold on.
Sure.
But for anyone who is on the call right now,
the conference has been unmuted.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Oh, it's Honda. I was wondering, do you guys have a goalball team in LA?
A goalball team?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if there's a goalball team in LA, but there's a couple. I know there's a couple sporting events or sporting organizations that you could check out. Check out the United States Association of Blind Athletes.
We have a goalball team up here in Tacoma. And I have a younger brother. He's legally blind from LHON, too. And I'm always trying to encourage him to do some activities, you know, and get involved and stuff like that. So just wondering if there was a goalball team down there.
I don't think there is. Are you playing football?
What's that?
Honda, I don't think there's goalball down here because I know I was trying to find every sport under the sun for Jeremy, too. And I'm pretty, as far as I'm aware, there's not goalball down here in Southern California.
Goalball?
There should be. I don't think there's blind baseball down here either, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I don't know. Dave, I don't know if you might know through your work with Braille, Dave. Do you know what sports there are through the Braille Institute in the Southern California area?
They do have goalball for youth, but it's not very team-oriented. They just do it for fun. So. So I don't think there's any, like, organized goalball out here. It's just more for fun. People do it for fun.
Honda, is your brother down in Southern California as well?
Yeah, he lives in Lakewood, California.
He lives in Lakewood?
Yeah.
That's the city next to me.
Yeah. I used to live in Long Beach, California. And
I moved up here.
Yeah, so my brother moved into my older sister. She lives in Lakewood, so he's living
there
now.
Do they go to Braille, the Braille Institute?
Yeah, he goes to the Braille Institute and kind of hang out, you know, socialize.
Does he go to Orange County or L.A. County?
L.A. County.
Oh, okay.
You guys probably run into each other before. You know, his name is Chatty.
I'm not sure. I went to the Orange County Braille. I'm not sure. Interesting.
Kind of, how old is he?
He should be about 40.
Oh, gosh.
About the same age as
me. Your new BFF.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta find him, yeah.
That's awesome. And how long has your brother been affected, Honda?
I think he lost his vision in 1997. I lost mine in 96. So his was like a year after mine.
Oh. And how old are you?
I'm 46 now.
Oh, wow, yours were close.
Younger brother lost.
Oh, wow. Well, Dave, you might have to connect with his brother. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I would totally be down. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
I'm sure you can find me on Facebook or something and connect.
Okay.
Feel free.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And, Hunter, are you new to the LHON community?
I just learned about it when a social worker from Sight Connection contacted me and asked if I wanted to participate in the LHON conference. And I just told him, sure. I do outreach all the time. And I was, you know, to be honest with you, I was really, 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 really nervous because I didn't know I was going to be on camera. You know? And then, I just communicated via email with Lisa. And I didn't know the LHON community existed, you know, and all the resources that's related to it, you know. So, but I told myself I was going to try to get more involved. I've just been really, really busy, you know. So.
Yeah.
And I talked to a young person by the name of Christopher Harper, and he told me he helped organize the last conference in CPAC. And I invited him to come out to goalball this Saturday. And so he never heard of goalball before. Didn't know there was adaptive sports for the blind, you know. So he's really excited about that.
Oh, awesome. That's very cool. Now, are you connected to the blind community with Sight Connect, or?
No, I used to be, not with Sight Connections. Sight Connections is a nonprofit organization, very similar to the Braille Institute, but more of a vocational and, I guess you can say blindness skills and life skills, type of organization. But I work for, the Area Agency on Aging for Pierce County, and there's an Area Agency on Aging in every county in the United States, you know? And I do, I'm a phone case manager, and I just, you know, encounter people all the time, talk to people every day, and people with all kinds of disabilities, and once in a while I'll run into or talk to people that's visually impaired, you know. And I just meet a lot of people, you know, over the phone or in person, you know.
Oh, very cool. That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear that you joined our community. There's a whole new family here for you.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to know Christopher a little bit better, and then we're thinking of maybe, you know, starting up something together, and, you know, LHON over here, you know. And then,
I love it.
And I network with other folks from around the country.
Well, I love to hear that. That is perfect. Wayne's done that in Florida, and Melissa and Maria's done that in California, in San Diego area, so this would be great to have someone out there kind of making moves.
Yeah. I mean, I just, when I learned about LHON and communicating with Lisa, I just felt something spark inside of me, and, you know, it's a little slow going, but, you know, it's something that I feel passionate about now, you know, so I want to get more involved, you know.
I can totally relate. I think Lisa has that effect on people. She's like,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
I didn't mention it, but years ago, I reached out to Lisa. I found her on Facebook or something and wrote her a letter, and then she wrote me back and telling me about all these great resources and stuff. So she's definitely the go-to person. Yeah.
She absolutely is. She definitely is. So thank you, Lisa. She's listening.
Thank you.
Come over there.
And this is Maria. And Dave,
Maria,
You to meet us for dinner, and you totally bailed. But no, just kidding.
I know. I had work. I know you did.
And but that would have been such a great opportunity to meet some other folks. But as I told you, we will absolutely do it again, because I invited a couple other gentlemen who are affected up there, and they couldn't make it either. So we had a great time, and just like Honda's saying, you know, making these smaller communities within the larger community is, you know, a lot easier for folks to get together. And I know Wayne and Susie do it in Florida. Canada's gearing up to get going up there as well. But, you know, just even able to meet, you know, halfway somewhere, it's really, really worth it. And I know we'll do it again. So I got you on the list.
We're not too far from each other, so hopefully we'll meet someday. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'll be in San Diego in the summer for work. Only for a couple days.
You gotta let us know. Yeah,
yes,
you gotta let us know.
Definitely.
Yeah, cool. And I go to the Braille Institute. You probably see, I go to the Braille Institute here in San Diego, so I'm really familiar with them. Great organization, you know, for any age. Like you were saying, it is a little bit of an older community there, but you know, when you find the right folks, you know, you fit right in.
Yeah. I mean, they're totally nice people. It's a wonderful organization. I don't mean to knock it, but
I'm agreeing with you completely. You know, I can be the youngest in the room, you know, very easily. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no.
He's like a senior citizen homework. So.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You
want to
say that? But it's a lot of, you know, it's glaucoma and macular and all that. But what I have found talking with older folks, it's not about vision loss. It's really just about their life and what they've done and all these great, wonderful things. I mean, I look at them as just, you know, nice friends, not as you're an old visually impaired person. So,
I didn't come across like that. Sorry if I did.
No, I'm just saying that's how I think that was my perspective for a while. And, you know, and that, talking with younger folks who are at the Braille, they've all felt the same way. But it's not until you immerse yourself sometimes in these blind communities that you realize, you know, we're all here learning the same thing, trying to make, you know, make this life livable in a little bit different way. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what the age is. And I think a lot of people get afraid of going to organizations like this because truly, you know, eye conditions happen at an older age. So, you know, there was a 25-year-old there yesterday. I was there, and he you could tell he did not want to be there at all. And, you know, I know exactly how he felt. You know, it was his first day, and he didn't want to be there. But hopefully he'll be back. But anyway, if you've been involved, I absolutely promote getting involved somehow in some sort of blind organization or activity like you have and Honda has. And
I was one of those guys that started in hating it, and then I ended up being a teacher there. So
yeah, I know. Well, yep, I didn't want to go either. I was like, oh, new school, new kid. But, yeah, I'm actually teaching part of a class this semester myself down here in San Diego, so it's kind of cool. Yeah, just, you know, you just kind of fall into this stuff sometimes.
Yeah. I love your book, by the way, too, and all your stuff about 80s music whenever you're out.
Oh, yeah. We both love 80s music.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm actually teaching part of a health and wellness class.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of co-teaching, and, you know, I don't know, you know, volunteers, you just kind of, you know, go with it, but... yeah, you know, it's you know, they kind of asked. I went, why not? I'm here. And so why not? You know, why not?
That's great. Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
It's fun trying to find what exercises we can do and what, like, physical activity we can do. I think that's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, come up with a full routine for us, Maria. You're a fitness instructor. I'm like, yeah, not for the blind, though, okay? Not for blind.
Yeah.
But, I have done a lot of audio descriptive workouts for RIB, which is the organization in the UK. I do radio over there, and I actually did a lot of fitness podcasts for them. Very descriptive workouts and exercises. So,
I would love to hear one of those if you can ever send me a link or something.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. You can find it on Girl Gone Blind under podcast. There you go.
I'm not here to promote
myself, but
I would like to try it, though. I'd like to try it.
Yeah, well, you know, see what you think.
Okay.
Hello, my name's Dawn.
Hello.
Hi, Dawn. I volunteer assisted living care at Atherton, and it's assisted care for older people. And I work in memory care. I volunteer. I enjoy doing that. It's fun.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Where is that, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Wow.
Oh, okay, cool. But memory care, so it's neat, and it's amazing what they could do.
She volunteers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's probably got LA join.
But it's amazing. One of the patients, he's a doctor. He plays classical piano and music on the piano, and it's amazing we does. His name is...
Oh, that's great. So are you a caretaker, or are you also visually impaired?
I'm visually impaired. So I help feed them and bring the food to them. And so it's really rewarding to watch them.
Very cool.
Oh, that's great. And how long have you been affected?
I've been doing this about 2 years.
Oh, great.
For 6 years. So that's right.
John, this is Maria. If you don't mind asking, how old are you?
I'm 47. I'll be 48 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, so you were affected in your early 40s?
Yeah, her 40s.
In your early 40s?
Yes, 41.
Ah, okay.
I've worked at Home Depot for about 21 years. You know, I lost my job because of the vision loss. And
mm-hmm.
They tried, but it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
trying so hard to keep my job. It just didn't work out.
Very difficult.
I wonder.
But I'm glad to hear that you found a new love.
But I enjoy working with the, Atherton, and I also work at maternity ward. It's awesome there. I help,
wow.
I help serve coffee and get to see new babies being born. So I've got
that's great.
Volunteering. So that's, you know, I found my niche volunteering. So that's good.
And it sounds like you love it. So that's definitely important.
Yes, so I could give back. So I enjoy that. I wish I could do more.
I'm sure you're definitely making a difference, though. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering is a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have anything, any questions or any maybe tips and tricks for Dave as he's and all of our first-time new callers?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Kind of.
Hi, my name is Zed. I'm from New Jersey. You said earlier about not being able to cook, and I volunteer. I've been affected since April, and so I'm volunteering with the Commission for the Blind to teach people how to cook that are blind, and I find that to be very rewarding. I mean, my wife is just amazed that, she'll say, "Will you chop up that pepper, that onion, and those potatoes for me?" And I'll chop them up like, to me, it's just easy because I've learned to use my fingers, have become my eye.
Uh-huh.
And I cut myself one time, and I learned you don't do it that way. And I taught myself how to cut things and chop things and measure things with my fingers to the point where I could actually teach other people how to do it.
Oh, that's incredible. Good for you. That's great.
So don't give up on cooking. Did you cook before you were affected?
No, I did not. And I did take a cooking class at Braille, and I just, to be honest, I'm just like a little lazy, and I've never really been into cooking, but I should do more. Like, I remember they taught us how to make bacon and eggs in the microwave, like everything using the microwave. I'm always at work or school, so I don't have the time to, but it's something I feel like I need to. I should.
Yeah, I cooked all the time before I was affected, so I figured, why should I stop now? I need a little help, like if I'm making something that has to be browned, I might ask my wife, is that browned yet? But I've learned how, if I'm doing a steak, I know just by pushing on it, whether it's rare, medium rare, or well done, just by touch. So,
that's cool.
You know, people out there, you know, you don't want to get, I just want to encourage you don't give up, no one in the community should give up on doing anything that they love, because you can always find a way to adapt and do it. Like, even right now, I've never been a musician, and I'm not teaching myself, I have a teacher that I'm learning how to play a bass. And
that's wonderful. I was going to ask if there were any musicians out there. I play several instruments myself.
What do you play?
I play the guitar. I have a ukulele here. I bought an accordion. I'm taking piano lessons.
Wow.
So,
an accordion.
So I did not let vision stop me because I love playing music. I love theater. I still do theater. One of my favorite hobbies before was going to the movies. I still go to the movies all the time. I've become an avid audiobook listener. I just love audiobooks.
Oh, yes. Me too.
Yeah.
I listen to
that. But that's great for nothing. You don't want it to stop you. So I admire that. Good for you, man. That's great.
This is Maria. I took cooking at the Braille, and all I did was gain weight because, you know, I just ate what they cooked.
I broke
seriously,
I was
just like, ooh, what's next week, you know? And it was, you know, in my cooking skills, we made it was casseroles. It was like 12, a casserole a week, 12 casseroles. I'm like, this is going to be great. My husband thinks I'm going to learn how to cook now, and he's like, I can't wait to have casseroles. I'm like, yeah, right. And, you know, all we did was make casseroles and eat. And, yeah, I didn't make one casserole at home, not one. But, yeah, anyway, yeah. I didn't gain any skills. I gained some pounds, but anyway. And they did offer the microwave class, but honestly, I just couldn't imagine 12 weeks of microwave cooking. I'm like, in the world can you cook in the microwave that would take that many weeks, you know, once a week? And I'm all like, yeah, you know what? I can handle the microwave. I'm good, you know, I thought. But the meat always, like Zed said, the meat always gets me. It's like, you know, I couldn't tell if meat was cooked on a good day, let alone, you know, a blind day. So, I don't know. Good for you, Zed. I love how you just dove right back into it. That's awesome.
That's great.
Thank
you both.
I think you could be one of our guest speakers. And tell us about some cooking skills sometime.
Yeah.
We might be able to arrange that.
He's only been affected since April. This is that guy.
I'm still waiting for my mobility trainer to come and help me go out and, you know, just get around, because right now I'm kind of limited when I go out. I have friends who come over and pick me up and take me out. We walk around the mall and do that kind of stuff. But I don't know why it's taking so long. But in New Jersey, it's kind of crazy. The occupational specialist comes and they try to teach us things. And that's where I got involved in trying to teach, or in teaching, volunteer to teach other people how to cook. And she was going to teach me how to cook. And when she came to the house, she goes, I can't believe you can do all this stuff. Well, I've been cooking since I was a teenager, so. And I'm 67 years old now.
Yeah.
And good for you for just taking up the base. So that's awesome.
It's hard, but I'm enjoying it immensely.
That's great.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just saying I can play the bass as well. That's all.
Oh, cool. I can't imagine the accordion. I mean, that has to be extremely difficult, and not being able to visualize what you're doing.
It is difficult, but it's also very fun. So, just to make noise. The first thing I ever learned was a guitar. I learned that when I was about 14 years old or so. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I lost my vision, I had trouble going up and down the frets, but it's kind of like just got to keep at it. So.
Yeah, you do. And after a while, it's almost like your hands kind of, you can judge the distance.
You have like a sense memory. Your hands have sense memory.
Mm-hmm. My teacher keeps saying, it will take you a minute, but you'll get it.
There you go.
I think we have a whole crew of guitarists in the community as well. Yeah. Now that I'm kind of thinking about it, you know, we have Jared. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have Jared, who's a guitarist, and there's been a few other ones. I can't think of them offhand, but Patty Dillon.
Patty Dillon.
And Brian Burrows plays the sax. I think we got a whole band.
That's the
Ellie Sherwin
band.
Oh, Maria.
Huh?
Who's going to be the singer, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Maria.
Not me.
We got to get the girls for singing. Maria and Melissa. The three girls.
I would be all bad. It would not be good.
It'll be an 80s cover band.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
We can start this at the next LA Touring Conference.
We could do the 80s, right?
Have a jam, big jam session. It'd be great.
Start the planning.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
Jessica, let's talk about the conference.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Tell us about what's coming up, Maria. I feel a little rallying coming on.
Oh, I was just going to. I was handing it over to you. Like, hey, talk about the conference.
Oh, you were.
Well, basically, it's. Jessica, you can talk about it. It's June 30th of this year.
A little later this year.
And where's it going to be?
29th, 30th,
right? Yeah, Wayne. 29th, 30th, because we always, we do a kind of a meet and greet the night before the conference, and you don't want to miss that. That's, you know, it's right up there with, you know, the conference day. It's great.
Where is it at?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Where did you say?
June 29th, 30th, and Lissa, it's in
Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Oh, I'll be in Knoxville, Virginia during that week.
Lissa, will we be rallying on a hill as well?
Yeah, we have to work out the details, because Day on the Hill is actually on the 29th. So we have to figure out how to let Day on the Hill happen on the 29th and still get our group together that evening. I haven't worked that out with UMDF yet, but yes. So, people who want to be part of Day on the Hill, the UMDF organizes busloads of people going from the hotel on the 29th, and they organize a meeting with your local representative to explain why we need more funding per research to find treatments in cures.
Yeah, you guys, it's an awesome event. It's really great to be able to network and really get to meet so many other people with LHON, but then it's awesome that you get to meet your congressman or your congresswoman, your senator, and really go out there and be able to have a chance to make a difference and get some mitochondrial funding and things like that, and really have the chance to have that sort of a difference as well. And plus, it gets you a great reason to go meet up with your favorite LHON friends that you've been talking to all year on LHON Live and explore Washington, D.C. I had an absolute blast. So it's a great, memorable experience for her. So as we plan for the year and start shaving now, plenty of time for an East Coast adventure. So a great start to save and plan for the year. But I did,
and
it's 10 o'clock. Sorry, go ahead, Maria.
It's definitely an event, and you said it many times before, Jessica, where you're not going to be in the same room with that many affected people, like, ever. So this is the chance to meet people face-to-face, and, you know, every year we've had more. You know, we have a large group come to the conference, but the group of affected has grown each year. So it just becomes like you just don't understand the bond that you walk in. You automatically have this bond with these folks. And it's like meeting a long-lost relative. And I don't know how else to explain it. It's like somebody you've known forever, but don't. And it's really, really special friendships when you meet. And Wayne Daniels can attest to that. He went to his first conference a little leery, but Wayne,
I couldn't have said it better, what you just said. Yes.
Yeah.
So. I can attest to that too. This is Chris. You go to this, and when you say goodbye, you're just looking forward to the next time you get together, because you have a special family now that you didn't have before, and you look forward to the next event when you can get together again, because we're spread all across the country, and you just want to be with your friends, and because you have this unique bond together, and it's just so special. And what you do when you go to the Day on the Hill is so important, and it's so well organized. And every topic they speak, the Day on the Hill is so well organized. And then the next day, the conference, Lissa and Maria and so many others, just the contributions are immeasurable. And you know, you learn about the latest research and clinical trials, and I can't tell you how important the topics are that they speak about. It's just invaluable.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Chris.
You know, and Dave actually kind of mentioned it as well. He was talking about how people are affected right at birth, or they're affected when they're older. I always say LHON has no age, because it's amazing how no matter what age you're affected, we all kind of were affected in the middle of our lives. So we all can kind of relate, whether we were 27 or 67, we all can kind of relate to everything was going quote-unquote normal, and then LHON affected happened, and we're kind of all in the same boat at different ages. So it's cool we can kind of connect without even thinking twice, you know. I mean, I can talk about makeup and clothes with Chris, and he's older than me, but you just don't know, because LHON doesn't have an age.
And I would also add that I'm affected, but I think the conference is important for carriers also. They get as much information out of it as an affected as an affected person does as well.
Hi, this is Judy. I had a question about the conference. Is that something you have to register for?
Definitely. So registration, let's say we'll send out an email. Do you receive her emails every month on, like, the LHON live calls and various other news articles she has?
Well, I just now signed up this week, so is that something that'll be in the email?
Yeah, yes, so she'll start sending out information on the email. I'll ask you, Melissa, if you want to chirp in about registration.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we do the event in coordination with the UMDF, so when they open up the registration, then that's when it'll be available to everybody. I can see you're signing up for the Facebook group, Judy, and all that good stuff. So, you'll start seeing all about it when it comes. So at this point, I don't think you'll miss it. So you're in good shape. Yeah.
Thank you.
We're a little early talking about the conference, but as we start planning and saving for LHON, it's nice to kind of keep this on everyone's radar for sure.
Yeah, I missed last year's.
Well, wonderful. Does anyone have anything else that they want to talk to Dave about? If not, I am going to stop the recording and open up the call for first-time callers. Anyone
any questions? Anybody got any questions?
Actually, this is Lisa from Canada. First of all, Dave, well done on what you've accomplished in your life up to this point. I have one question. What is your last name?
Rathal?
Okay. I've
are you
seen
Lisa
you on Facebook.
McGregor?
Now I know who you are. Can now associate a name with a voice. So I commend
you on
what you've done, and I think that that's fabulous that you're helping the youth. You know, whether
you
it be a vision disability, hearing or whatnot, I think it's very commendable that you're doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And just I'm going to comment about the conference. I've attended two of them so far. And the day on the Hill, just for us non-Americans, you can still attend. I'm from Canada. You can still attend. You don't really have a voice, but it's kind of neat to see what goes on. The day on the Hill, I believe, is open to everybody, even if you're not an American citizen. So anybody
correct
in the world, Lisa can.
They were glad to have you. They were very glad to have you and your mom there. Absolutely. Anyone can participate. It is fun. You're right.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. But I do have to say the conference itself in general, to sort of sum it up in a lot of words the very first time, it's like you're being in a room with people that are just like you. And for the first time, you know, in my entire life, I actually got to meet somebody like me. So it's an experience that you'll never forget, and I strongly suggest everybody, if you can start saving your pennies, nickels, quarters, whatever, it is well worth the travel there.
Amen.
Yep.
Well said. Does anyone else have a goosebumps about that stuff? No?
Anyone?
No. Oh, yeah.
One quick thing about the notion of saving the pennies and nickels. Don't forget also that UMDF does have a scholarship program.
Yep. There you go.
And when the links do come out, there'll be a deadline for when you can apply for a scholarship. But I know several, you know, I don't manage as the UMDF does, but they get grants from several organizations, and then they distribute those funds to folks who demonstrate need through their scholarship program. So that information will get posted to the group in an email too, but just to say it out loud, you know, that's another option to help cover the cost, you know, that there's some generous sponsors out there who understand that it's important for people in the rare disease community to come to meetings like this for all the reasons you're saying. And so sometimes, you know, either there's the scholarships through UMDF, or they also post information about, you know, there's also local organizations that will often support folks in the rare disease community, and LHON is a rare disease. And, you know, there's local organizations, you know, like a Lions Club, for instance, that you can turn to and maybe make a case for why it's important for you to come to a meeting like this, and can get underwritten that way too. So there's a bunch of ways to make it happen. Just to, we don't think that the money is the only consideration. There are things to, you know, help out.
And Lisa, there's a listener that might not be on your mailing list. How can they get a hold of all the right information?
If someone's not currently on the mailing list and wants to be, I mean, the most straightforward thing is just to contact me directly. So either, you know, my email address is lhonpoince@aol.com. So anyone can just email me, or you can find me on Facebook pretty easily, Lisa Poincino, and just message me and just indicate that you want to get added, you know, give me an email address, I'll add you to the list, and you'll get all the contact info.
Okay.
Wonderful. And especially for our first-time callers, if there are any questions or anything that pops up, myself, Maria, and Annie Marks, so Maria Johnson, Annie Marks, and, of course, Lisa, we're always happy to answer any questions or anything that kind of pops up. If you'd like to be a guest on LHON Live, we'd love to have you. You can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com or shoot one of us a Facebook message. We'll always respond to that. And we'd love to have you as a guest if you want to share your story, and we can learn a little bit more about you, and maybe you could teach us something for sure.
Exactly.
And as always,
on that note, just I'll chime in a little bit. I'm actually starting my hunt for our February caller this week. So for anyone who listened to tonight's call and think they would be willing, I won't even say able, because we're all able to share our stories, but anyone who's willing to kind of share a little bit about themselves with this audience, I'd love to hear from you. You can either send me a Facebook message, find me at Andy Marks, or as Jessica said, you can always email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. That next call is going to be February 1st. So it will be here sooner than you know it. So thanks.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Annie. That was a perfect segue. Dave, I wanted to thank you for joining us for LHON Live, and especially for being our guest and sharing your story. It's awesome to kind of hear everything of what you've accomplished and about your cool job. I think that's amazing. I love it. And, We're glad to have you, and welcome to the family for sure. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Jessica. It's been a real pleasure. So thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. I am going to quick take off the recording and then open it up and see if anyone has any questions. So hold on one second.